Chapter 16. Jesse made a face, and not a happy one, as he drove past the for sale sign at the edge of his property. For the most part, he had enjoyed living on the outskirts of town. The quiet, the water views, the woods were all good for his head. But the isolation was getting to him. Even a man like him, a man apart, can have too much of a good thing. And he supposed that he was partially motivated by his relationship with Diana. There was no way she would ever be happy living out in the woods, listening to the grass grow and having cicadas sing her lullabies, though he doubted there was any place in paradise that could hold her attention. Good thing he could. The plan was for him to begin shopping for a condo when someone put a serious bid on his house. As yet, it had been slow going. There had been a few nibbles, but mostly lowball bids to see if he would bite. This part of the day had become his toughest hurdle in his effort to give up alcohol for good. The part of the day he used to look forward to more than any other. When he'd get home from work and fix himself a tall Johnny Walker Black Label with soda, stir it with his index finger and lick his finger like a kid with mom's chocolate cake batter. Then he'd sit in his recliner and discuss his day with Ozzie Smith. It was easier on the weekends with Diana in town to focus on, to come home to. The lack of action on the house sale didn't make this part of the day any easier. Still, he went through the ritual, using club soda and lime. Only today, he plopped down in his recliner and opened the file Healy had given him from the Boston PD. He'd already gone over it once at the station. He hoped a second look, away from work, might help him find something new. But Healy had been right. Jesse wasn't happy with what was in the file, not earlier and not now. So far, everything confirmed the original theory in the case. Although the DNA results weren't back yet, and wouldn't be for several weeks, the initial blood type results showed only two contributors, both consistent with each victim's blood type. The only fingerprints on the knife belonged to Gino Fish. The blood on the knife was consistent with the receptionist's blood type. The autopsy showed that the knife wounds matched the knife found on the scene. The fingerprints on the .38 belonged to Gino Fish, and no less a source than Vinnie Morris had confirmed that Gino kept the .38 in his top drawer. He called Tamara Elkin, the local ME. They'd become close friends over the last year or so, though Tamara never made it a secret that she would have preferred the bounds of their friendship extend into the bedroom. But Jesse had held fast to his devotion to Diana, even when she was still down in D.C., putting her life back in order and ending her career at the Bureau. "Hey, cowboy," she said when she heard Jesse's voice. Tamara had spent years in Texas and liked to tease Jesse that he was the embodiment of the cowboy myth. "To what do I owe the pleasure of your call?" "A favor."
"Do I get to call in a favor in return?" she asked, her voice suddenly deeper and raspy.
"Depends on the favor."
"I've seen Diana," she said, her voice back to normal. "I've got no shot. I wish I didn't like her so much. Makes it hard to be as jealous as I want to be."
"Don't sell yourself short, Doc." She ignored that.
"So, what's the favor?"
"I need you to go over a file for me, including an autopsy report and crime scene photos."
"Sure. Just bring it by whenever. What is it I'm looking for, exactly?"
"Inconsistencies."
"That all?" she asked, skeptical.
"I don't want to prejudice you. See what you see and we'll talk."
"Okay. So, Jesse, how's the not drinking coming along?"
He could hear the ice in her drink rattling around in the background. Their mutual love of Johnny Walker Black was one of the things that had helped cement their friendship. Sometimes, when she asked him questions about his drinking, he could swear she was rooting against his success. He guessed he understood her point of view.
"Some days are rougher than others," he said. "Like tonight?"
"Uh-huh."
"Okay, Jesse, I'll see you when you drop the file by."
"Tomorrow."
"Until tomorrow," she said, and then clicked off.
He closed the file, got up off the recliner, and ambled into the kitchen to whip up some eggs for dinner. His cell phone buzzed in his pocket,
When he fished it out and looked at the screen, he saw that the call was from a strange number with a 214 area code. Dallas. He recalled what he had said a few minutes before to Tamara Elkin. Some nights truly were rougher than others.